Chapter 20. Are you there? Got your Bible already, huh? We've been talking for the last 27 chapters about God's word, God's law, God's will, and you know, God wants us to be wise. We can be wise if we are in Jesus Christ and we're willing to listen. And God wants that. But we also can be fools. I'm sure at times we all are fools, but we can be. Sure, you can be born again and be a fool. Of course, we've seen that over and over through the book of Proverbs. We're already into chapter 28. What did that take? About 26 weeks? 27 weeks? Something like that? I don't know. But anyway, a little while. And the subject hasn't changed. Tonight, as a matter of fact, when you take a look at chapter 28, you're going to see some repeats. He's getting near the end of the book, the writer, and you're going to see some things repeated. And people complain about that. They say, well, I don't understand why you'll read this verse in chapter 12, then you go on and read it in chapter 24 or 25. Why is that? God repeats himself so that you and I will remember it. One of the things that you're taught when you want to teach, those of you that are going to college and think you want to be school teachers, during your training, what they do is they have you come up with ways to where you repeat the same thing over and over so that people will get it. Not just children, adults as well need to hear it. Pastor Chuck Smith says, and he's been doing this now since right before dirt was found. He says, if you want the adults to remember what you announced, you must announce it 6 straight weeks in a row. A minimum of 6 weeks if you want people to say, oh, I heard that announcement once. That's just how we are, because what happens is if you're sitting you're sitting over there and you turn a little sideways to watch, it can have a tendency to go in that ear and slip right back out. I notice that if you look at each other sometimes while the teaching's going on, you turn, well, it'll slip right through your ears and go away. Put your finger up there, lock it in, and it'll bounce around and catch on somewhere. No, the truth is, Jesus says some of the same things over and over. He does a couple of things more than once so that you'll remember it. Paul repeats himself. You think, oh, poor Paul, he's getting old. No, he does it on purpose. Peter even says, I am not ashamed. It doesn't bother me to have to say this over and over again to you, because that's how we learn it. So hopefully you're going to recognize tonight some scripture. Even though you haven't done chapter 28 yet, we ought to recognize some of the thoughts and some of the patterns. Chapter 28 begins this way. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Sin. And see, we are all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah chapter 53, you remember the all we like sheep have gone astray. You remember sin. Sin puts a person in a constant state of agitation, a constant state of fear, as a matter of fact. When sin is going on, people are not comfortable. A constant state even of dread. Even when no one points a finger at you and me, there are times when we would swear they're talking about us. You feel uncomfortable. Sometimes you think, that person's mad at me, they're angry. Well, not at all. Or you feel like they are condemning you. What's going on? The wicked run away when nobody's after them. Or let's say that in the language that you and I would use today. They defend themselves when nobody's attacking. Notice that? Maybe you and I have all been in a position to where we've defended ourselves and nobody was attacking. What's happening is the sin that's going on around you, the sin that you might even be partaking in, is got you a little bit on edge. Everybody sees through different colored glasses. You know, your glasses may be rosy. Your glasses may be a little bit yellowish. Your glasses may be sunglass dark. But everybody sees differently. But the one thing we know is sin puts a person in a constant state of agitation. And so the wicked, they will run away even when nobody's chasing them. They're hiding. Psychology, or psychologists, have a term for this. They call it a guilt complex. Have you ever heard of that? We all have one. Maybe you didn't know it, but we all have one. Christians admit that they do. Christians are willing to admit that they were sinners and needed a Savior. Now, what we learn in this scripture is, on the other hand, when your own mind is free from guilt, your own heart is free from guilt, you can stand up and stand strong. When you're feeling like everybody's talking about you, when you're feeling like nobody likes you, when you're feeling like so-and-so's mad at me, watch out. Because chances are good it's not so-and-so at all. Because, see, the wicked flee when no man pursues. If someone asks you, how's it going? And you say, well, what do you mean? There's no need to run. Somebody was just asking you how it's going. Don't run. The wicked flee when no one's after them. Don't run. Interesting concept. But the righteous are bold as a lion. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. Transgressions in the land leads to, this is a very interesting statement by God, a large turnover in leadership. And if you'd like to see the Bible show you an example, which is always good to do, look for examples of God's Word, in God's Word, you can read through 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings. Read through those. Those are interesting. Look at the northern kingdom of Israel. Remember when they had their civil war and they split into the north and the south? Remember that they had, the north had 20 kings in only 9 dynasties. 20 kings. See, transgression in the land leads to a large turnover in leadership. The way the Bible puts it is, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. Leadership. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. On the other hand, he says, order is maintained when a good ruler uses insight and knowledge to rule. And the state is actually prolonged. You can see the opposite if you want to read through 1st and 2nd Kings. If you'll see the kings of the south, the kings of Judah. And you'll see there were some good kings. And how it all worked and how much better it was. God's word always works, by the way. Now verse 3 says, a poor man that oppresses the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaves no food. When a person in need, the Bible says, what he's saying here, oppresses other people in need, other poor. Well, it's just plain simple cruelty. Plain and simple. That's cruelty. It's no good. It's the same, verse 3 says, as a really hard driving rain. And maybe you've seen this happen, or maybe you've seen movies. The rain comes in so fierce that instead of watering the crops, it literally destroys them. Have you seen that happen? The rain literally breaks down and hurts the crops instead of feeding them. And that's the point of the verse. Poor man that oppresses the poor is like a sweeping rain, which leaves no food. It destroys the crops instead of nourishes them. You're doing no good. When a poor person oppresses the poor, it's cruelty. It can come to no good. It will destroy. That's what he's saying. They, verse 4, that forsake the law, praise the wicked. Now, I know we don't think that way, but that's just what it says. They that forsake the law, praise the wicked. But such as keep the law, contend with them. When people turn from obeying God's law, and I know that you probably have seen people who just don't obey God's law. They're not interested. They've turned from God. They say they don't even believe in God. When people turn from obeying God's law, what they're doing is they're actually giving praise and they're actually siding with the wicked. When you and I disregard God's law and turn from it, we are actually siding with the wicked. But those who listen to and do God's law actually stand against the wicked. I believe that you and I, that's what we're called to do as Christians. We want to stand against the wicked, stand against the wickedness in this world. You don't want to join in with it, be on the side of it, give it praise, encourage it. You want to stand against it, so you want to be careful. Don't turn away from obeying God's word. Verse 5 says, evil men do not understand judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Now, of course, evil men, those would be those who are disobedient to the Lord. When people disobey the Lord, when they ignore his commands, they really have, at that point, no insight into what is correct. You and I can disobey the Lord. And that always seems strange when you talk about believers. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, you know, stand on the freeway in front of oncoming traffic and tell me you don't believe in trucks. Fine. It's not a case of whether you believe. Scripture is so clear on this issue. Read through the book of 1 Corinthians. And you'll see that Christians can certainly go into sin. They certainly can be carnal. They can remain babies. It's true. That's what the whole letter of 1 Corinthians is about. And you see, when people disobey the Lord, when they ignore his commands, they then have no real insight as to what is correct. They can't see, they can't think well. Their minds have been corrupted. Now, you and I as believers, we're blessed in the fact that it is by grace. 1 John 1:9 tells us that we can confess our sins to the Lord. It's called the Christian bar of soap. 1 John 1:9, we can confess our sins to the Lord. And you're going to continue to do that. You know, as you walk through this day, as you walk through to this morning, as you walk through yesterday, you're still born again. You're just as born again as you were the day you got saved. But Jesus even says it to Peter. You don't need a complete bath, Peter. You just need your feet washed. You got a little dirty today. There are times when you and I, maybe today, thought things we shouldn't have thought. Maybe did things we shouldn't have done. Maybe said things we shouldn't have said. Maybe didn't do something that should have been done. And we want to just remain before the Lord with all that. But those that completely disobey, that ignore his commands, they have no real insight any longer. You can read Romans chapter 1 when you get some time, and you'll see that God, those that have rejected him and rejected his word, God turns them over or gives them over to a reprobate mind. Reprobate mind, the word reprobate means it doesn't function right. Their head doesn't work right. They don't understand anymore. What a bizarre thought, but that's kind of what Scripture says. So they'll start thinking this is all right. Robbing banks is really okay. They'll justify it and they won't see anything wrong with it. And any of the other things that you can think of, they'll begin to justify those. See, let me read it to you again, verse 5. Evil men do not understand judgment. Their minds and hearts don't work that way. Such as keep the law. I'm sorry, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. God will give you wisdom, those that belong to him. God will give you an ability to see clearly and to be able to discern, to recognize when you've gone against the Word of God, or to remember before you go against the Word of God what the Word of God says. God gives you that ability. That's not something you've developed or I've developed. That's not because we're holy now. It's because God will give you that ability. That's verse 5 is telling you. They that seek the Lord understand all things. You stick with the Lord and you'll see. It'll make sense to you. You'll understand. Now verse 6 says, better is the poor that walks in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Remember that. We've seen that before. A few different ways we've seen it, but we've seen it throughout the book of Proverbs. It is better to be poor and honest, is what this verse says, than rich and wicked. The poor don't think so. But the truth is, that is scriptural. It is better to be poor and to be honest than to go ahead and be rich and to be dishonest, to be wicked. Because we have learned what's going to happen to those who are dishonest, to those who are wicked, if they continue on. They're going to lose everything they have and it will destroy them. Remember, we've learned all that. So that's just a reiteration of what we've seen before. Verse 7 says, whoso keeps the law is a wise son. You've seen that before, remember? A wise child obeys his father. A wise, daughter or son, they keep the commandments of the Lord. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shames his father. A son who obeys the laws of the Lord is a wise son, a child. Now that's in the midst of everything else. Now mark that. Don't just say, oh yeah, I know. No, in the midst of everything else, when everybody else around you is losing it, a wise child, a wise son or daughter, obeys the Lord anyway. When the disciples were cracking up, when all the people were afraid, when everything was going on around him, yet notice Jesus continued to wisely obey the Father. He's a wise son. But he that is a companion of riotous men makes his father ashamed, or puts his father to shame. What an interesting statement that is. He that is a companion of riotous men. Well, in our language, a son or a daughter who hangs out with partiers is a shame to their parents, to their family. You hang out with people who all they want to do is party. Have fun. Let's just go do this. Let's go and do that. Let's go. Man, we're too young. Oh, well, I got a fake ID. Let's just do that. Your parents are going to be ashamed. It's not going to bless them. It's going to bring trouble to the whole family. And a lot of parents are going right on. A lot of teens are going, what? Take God at his word, young people. Take him at his word. The prodigal son, he had a lot of money. When he had a lot of money, remember, he was just a teen. When he had a lot of money, he had a lot of friends, and he hung around with the partiers. And they used him. And they got what they wanted. And finally, he was poor and had nothing left. And then, of course, he came to his senses. Why is it, don't you wonder, that we have to be flat on our back before we'll look up at the stars? Why is it that we have to be so broken before we'll start to cry out to God? So take the advice of the Lord your God. Whoever keeps the law is a wise child, wise son or daughter. But he that is a companion of partiers shames his father. He that by usury, verse 8, an unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Usury is interest. It's tax or interest. A person who charges large amounts of interest will eventually lose it all. And that money will go to someone who will give it to the poor. Mark the words of God. The one who charges a ridiculous interest will lose it all. That's the word of God. So mark the word of God. You say, I don't believe it. Just watch. Wait and watch and see. God's word always works out just right. The poor gets it. Verse 9 says, he that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Now that should make each one of us stop and think about ourselves. If you want God to hear you, the Bible says, you got to first hear him. You hear that? If you want God to listen to you, then first you need to listen to him. People say, well, I've been praying since I was 13. I got in trouble at school. I've been praying. And listen. God hears the prayers of the righteous. You must be born again. We've talked about that many times through Proverbs. I think it's, let me see, 1 Peter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So I can read it to you now again, way back in the book of Proverbs. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You can't ignore God's word and then be praying and crying out to God. Your prayer is an abomination. In other words, what is an abomination? Something that makes God sick. Something that makes him throw up. Now, when are our prayers the most fervent? When we're in trouble. When do you pray the hardest? When you get up, you're feeling great. The day's going good. The birds are singing. The sun is out. The clouds are beautiful. Everybody likes you. Nobody hates you. And you drop down on your knees and you cry out, oh, Lord God. No, you don't. Thanks, Lord, for this. I'd be talking to you. But you get up and try to get out of bed and you can't move. Then you might pray a little harder, huh? It's funny how we are. Funny, not funny, ha ha. That's how we are. Oh yeah, when we say, I can't take the stress anymore, I just can't handle it. That's when we really get serious with it. I think I'm going to fast. Whoa, you must be serious. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Remember that. Don't turn away from the word of God. Whatever the word of God says for me and you to do, we ought to pray that God would give us the strength to do it. Give us the ability to understand it and to live it. Even if we didn't do it last week. Now, sir, I don't worry about that. You know, that's one of the Christian firing squads that we like to do. We stand in a circle and we shoot each other because, oh, yeah, you were a jerk last week. Hey, listen, all of us are jerks. But there's today. There's always today. You'll notice that God doesn't deal much with you last week, does he? God doesn't come to you and say, all right, you know, last week you kind of made me sick. I want to talk about it. What does God say? Never yet has he said that to you. He has always said today. Today, my daughter, today, my son, listen to my voice. Hearken unto my voice right now. Follow me. Walk before my eyes now. So keep that in mind when all your Christian friends circle you. And that's how Christians do firing squads, by the way. They stand in a circle. It usually hits a lot more than the one they're aiming at, but that's how Christians do it. Keep that in mind. Verse 10 says, whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. The one who causes the righteous to sin will be snared by his own ways. Don't try to get other people to sin. It's just going to do you no good. You're not going to appreciate in the long run what it does. Watch this, guys. When you see someone coming, watch this. And you say something knowing full well it's going to start a fight. Hey, watch what she does when we pour this water on her. Hey, watch, you guys, this is going to be great. Now wait till he grabs the door. Watch. Knowing full well that you're going to make him say something that he wasn't intending to say. Or make her think something she wasn't intending to think. What you just did was you caused the righteous to go astray in an evil way. And what happens? That person shall fall himself into his own pit. Now, what's a pit? That's a hole that you have dug to catch somebody else. You dig pits. They used to do that, and they're going on these big safaris. They want to catch large animals. They'll dig a big pit covered up, and maybe a lion be coming by, or a leopard, and they'll fall in that pit. And now it's too far to jump out, and they've got him. Well, that's what a pit is. What you've done is, and we shouldn't be doing it, dug something deep, hoping that that person will fall in it, or those people, or that group, that crowd. And God says, no. But whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But notice the upright shall have good things in possession. On the other hand, the upright will be blessed. Stay on the upright, on the up and up. Stay away from all that other stuff. The rich man, verse 11, this is kind of cute. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. But the poor that has understanding searches him out. The rich is wise in his own conceit. A person that is rich, oftentimes, what he's saying here, thinks they know a lot. Why do they think they know a lot? Because they have a lot of money. Money doesn't make brains, is what the Bible's teaching us. You and I can go out and you can take a shovel and you can earn thousands of dollars. And when you've got all those thousands in your pocket, people say, whoa, you earned all that money? Yeah, ooh, you must be pretty smart. With a shovel? Well, it does take a little education, I agree, but you see, the rich think they know a lot simply because they're rich. And having money does not make a person wise. Now, we don't believe that. Our society doesn't believe that. And so, as soon as someone becomes a movie star, we make them a spokesman for something. I was reading today in the news how a couple of superstars were saying how we ought to handle this terrorism in Afghanistan. I thought, the guy's a lousy actor. He's not even funny. I mean, he has to use bad language to get people to laugh, and here he is telling us how to run a war. Notice, when you make a lot of money, you know everything. That's according to Scripture. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. And we say, oh, wow, did you hear what so-and-so said? I remember when Jane Fonda, being a superstar, became a communist, you know, and knew how to take care of Vietnam. And I thought, I mean, a person that can't spell acting, you know, then goes on to become an expert in politics and in economics. Why? Because they are rich. Rich and famous. What makes them wise? Nothing. They aren't wise. They just think they are. You'll see them speak out on behalf of animals. And you'll see the rich speak out against this government or that government. And you think, oh, Lord, they don't know. But you know something? A discerning poor person can see right through that kind of an individual. Isn't that what it says? Rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that has understanding searches him out. You can see right through that. You listen to these people telling you how to run a war in Afghanistan, and my guess is, and I'm just guessing this, most of the commanding generals in that war room with the president don't listen to Bill Murray when it comes to strategy. Probably the FBI and the CIA don't listen to Tom Hanks when it comes to gathering intelligence. I could list you many other people that are talking about these educational things, but do you understand the point? Even a poor person like me or you, if you consider yourself poor, you could even see through that and realize they don't have a clue. So watch out for that. If you do make a lot of money, God bless you. That'd be cool. But just remember, when you've got it, that doesn't make you all knowledgeable, wise in your own conceits. Just remember, God helped you get it. God gave it to you. So think about that. Now, when righteous men do rejoice, verse 12, there is great glory. Not Greg Laurie, great glory. It's hard to say. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. And all that means, it's pretty clear. When the righteous are ruling and running things, things are going pretty good. You're blessed. But when the wicked arise, get control or begin to run things, people hide themselves. And you can just look at the story of Robin Hood. A pox on the phony king of England. And what did the people do? Because of that wicked Prince John, they would hide. They would hide in the forest. They would hide themselves to protect themselves from the wicked. Same thing went on when Hitler was running things over in Germany. Many of the people would hide in the different countries. The people would hide from the wicked rulers. It's very common. But when righteous men rejoice, there's great glory. When you got people that are doing things that are right and the righteous are running things, things really go pretty well. So remember that also next time you vote, if you do. Verse 13 says, he that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Trying to hide your sins, trying to cover them up, never works. It just never works. If you're truly born again, God brings them out for everybody to see if you won't confess them. It just never works. Do you remember King David? He sinned a little bit here and there. Adultery, murder, lying, cheating. Man after God's own heart, he was called. But he was a sinner also, just like all mankind. And he wasn't going to confess it. He thought he'd gotten away with it, so around 9 months later, Nathan came in and said, we know all about what you did. You're the man. You're a sinner. And that's when David repented. A lot of times we repent when we get caught, don't we? It's true. Now notice, trying to hide it doesn't work. Now, are you thinking of anybody you know? See, I hope he's listening. I hope I'll get her this tape. Matter of fact, I'll get her the video. You missed it. As soon as you thought of somebody else, if you and I thought of it, we missed it. It went right over you. You turned, it went in and got loose. You missed it. And that's where our problems lie. Trying to hide your sins or cover them over never works. But notice confession results in God's mercy and forgiveness. See that? And again, write down if you're taking notes, 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we want to remember that one. Verse 14 says, happy is the man that fears always. But he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. Now sin, you and I have learned, is a killer. Sin's a killer. We should fear the Lord, excuse me, and stay away from sin. Did you really think you meant happy as a man that fears? Meaning be afraid of his shadow, being afraid that the sun won't come out, being afraid that it might rain, being afraid that he might not get a job, being afraid that she might not go to school. No, that's not what fear, what's being talked about here. Talking about the Lord and the things that are of the Lord, reverencing of the Lord. You see, We should fear the Lord and stay away from the things that He says to stay away from. Now, if you forget that, go ahead and harden your heart, verse 14 says, here comes trouble. Happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. Go ahead, he says. Happy is the person who thinks about what God says, and at all times, not just when they're reading their Bible, but at all times thinks about, no, wait, what would God want done here? Now, wait, what does God say about this? At all times thinking about, all right, I want to be sure that this is all right with the Lord. I want to be sure that this is what God says. I want to make sure it doesn't go against what God's thinking or planning, right? That's someone who fears the Lord. They stay away from sin. But you forget that. If you forget that and go ahead and harden your heart and say, well, maybe I don't think about that. I don't notice that. Well, I don't think so. Well, you know, harden your heart and here comes trouble. By the way, you and I have seen that spoken pretty near the same way in quite a few Proverbs over the last 27 and a half chapters. God's trying to make a point here. Reverence the Lord. Listen to Him. Trust in Him. Verse 15 says, as a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wants understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hates covetousness shall prolong his days. Yeah, they go together. The wicked ruler is cruel, like a wild lion or a raging bear. And the ruler who oppresses people lacks understanding, doesn't understand what he or she is doing. Now, on the other hand, the person who refuses to abuse his or her power will enjoy blessings and, the Bible says, even long life. You can see clearly, and we're only, what was that, through 16, you can see clearly how there's a right side of things and there's a wrong side of things. There's a way that really makes good sense and it's positive and you think, well, I like that. And then there's a way that makes bad sense, it's not positive, and you're encouraged to avoid it, stay away from it. So clearly are these things marked that it's surprising to us how often we go to the fool side, to the dumb side, to the trouble side, to the yuck side. Amazing how we do it. But we do it. If it were up to us to do it right for the entire week, none of us would be alive. You know that, don't you? If it were up to us to do it all right. It is by God's grace that you're here tonight and not out robbing banks. By God's grace that you and me are here tonight and not out breaking into someone's car. You say, oh, I would never do that. I know. You and Peter. Peter said, not me, Lord. Others might, Lord, but not me. Man, as soon as you say that, if that comes out of our mouth, oh my goodness, we've learned nothing. The heart is desperately wicked. Even though you and I don't believe it, that's exactly what God says. Verse 17 says, a man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. The pit, in this case, talks about his own destruction. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any other. What does that mean? Murder. That means taking someone's life. One who murders does have a guilty conscience. And that guilty conscience won't let them rest much. You say, well, some people's consciences are pretty rough. Well, that's true, but you know, story after story after story, the police will tell you, the FBI will tell you, they've closed cases from 20 years ago and say, we have no clues, we have no ideas, we have no way to find out anything. Someone will walk into the police station, sit down and say, I got to tell you, I got to confess, 20 years ago I did this. I just couldn't stand it any longer. People in prison, many of them, confess to other crimes they did because even in prison, even while doing time being punished for something else they've done, they still say, it's bothering me, and I just got to let you know. I also murdered these three people, and I did that bank job 15 years ago that you got no clues over, because they can't seem to get it out of their system. One who murders has a guilty conscience that won't let him rest. He or she will try to escape justice and will not be able to stop running. And notice, they flee to the pit. They can't seem to get away from it. It destroys them. And what we read here is that one who tries to hide that murderer is wrong to do so as well. Of course, you know, in our country, it is illegal to give aid or help in any way to someone who is running away from a crime. Many people have gone to jail because they were nice and gave this. She was such a nice girl. I gave her. How did I know she just ran away from home and robbed a 7-Eleven and was running from the law? Now both people go to jail because one is an accomplice who stopped to give them a ride. Bible says, one who tries to hide that murderer is wrong to do so. You know, there are murderers today that are called terrorists who deserve to be brought to justice. But you notice you can't get them because there are others out there who hide them. Notice, the one who hides that murderer is wrong to do so. Both of them are going to get caught in the pit eventually. God will take care of that. So we don't want to be like that. Verse 18 says, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. He that is perverse in his ways shall fall swiftly or at once. A blameless life, it's easy to understand, is a life of safety. Whoever walks uprightly shall be saved. You know, you go to the New Testament, read the book of Romans, Paul will say, if you don't want to be afraid of the law, don't do anything wrong. That's a very easy point to grasp. And that's what he's saying here. A blameless life is a life of safety. But a troublemaker will suddenly fall. They won't get away with it. If you want to cause trouble, he says, you just won't get away with it. And of course, remember, this is being written so that we can be wise sons and daughters instead of foolish sons and daughters. So we take all these to heart. Verse 19 says, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that follows after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Well, that one we've seen written different ways before. The farmer that works hard will have plenty to eat. And we've seen that. Working hard, working diligently at your job, doing your very best at your job, whatever your job might be, that's a good thing and it will bring blessing. Now, on the other hand, someone who just chases after pleasures and entertainments, they will be filled with poverty instead of food. He that tills his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that follows after vain persons shall have poverty enough. He won't be filled with food, or she won't be filled with food. They'll be filled with poverty. They'll get nothing. And we have a country that really encourages us to do nothing. We have a welfare system that just is designed to get you hooked on it. So be careful of that and don't grow that way. Work hard at what you do. Someone may laugh at what you do. That's right. Let them laugh. That's right. They'll stop someday when they get tired. Just work hard at what you do. Do your best at what you do, whatever God's given you. Just do it. Farmer that works hard will have plenty to eat. Verse 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. A faithful or a trustworthy man abounds with blessings. Do what's good. Do what's honest. Do what's right. You'll be blessed. You'll abound. Blessings overflowing. But being in a hurry to get rich, you know, if you've heard of get-rich-quick schemes, people probably call you on the phone, these salespeople. You know, here's a way. I see things posted on telephone poles as I drive home. You can make $24 an hour. Call this number. when people, and I think, I wonder if people call that. I wonder if people actually call that and say, I won't make $24 an hour. Where do you go to school? I haven't. I haven't gone to school since third grade. But I want to make $24 an hour. I just sometimes wonder, do people really do that? Now I know people want to get rich quick. I know that. I mean, that's the American dream. Not just to get rich, but to get rich quick. You know, and so, getting rich quick, we learn, leads to cheating. It leads to dishonesty of all kinds, resulting in lots and lots of trouble and heartache for the individual. See, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. If you try to get rich quick, you're going to cheat. You're going to bend the rules. You're going to try to... I remember when we were living in Las Vegas, I remember the police busted a gang of people who were going into casinos, ripping off the slot machines. They had found a way to cheat the machines. You would rub your feet across the floor in those electronic slot machines and walk up to them and touch them with that static electricity spark, and it would set the machine to where you could pull the handle down. The one-armed bandits. And this gang was taking thousands of dollars a month away from these slot machines. Cheating. I mean, beating Las Vegas cheaters at their own game. And they were wanting to get rich quick, and they showed the gang on TV, and it was all these little bitty little women with blue hair. All of in their 60s and 70s. They had come up with this scheme to get rich. And it caused them to cheat, you know, and then, so these women are going to jail in their 60s, you know, having to do 2 or 3 years, and you think, you know, was it worth it? And that's what you do when you try to get rich quick. I remember, we would say that in Las Vegas. People would come in a $20,000 car and leave on a $180,000 bus. Greyhound. They'd even lose their car because they're wanting to get rich quick. What happens? It results in lots and lots of trouble, lots of heartache for you and for your family. If that's your grandmother that got busted, went to jail, you know, kind of bums your family out. To have respect of persons, verse 21 says, is not good. I wonder, now, do you believe that? Do you really believe that, really? I mean, just think about it for a second and ask yourself in your own heart. Do I believe that having respect of persons is no good? No good. To have respect of persons is not good. What does it mean to have respect of persons? It means to show partiality, to show favoritism. Do you show favoritism to some people and not others? When people say, well, yeah, I mean, some are my friends and some are jerks. Some I know, some I don't know. Well, you know, to have respect of persons is not good. Because it'll cause heart trouble for you. For a piece of bread, that person will transgress. If you have respect of persons, if you play favorites, if you show partiality, you're going to let that person do something you might not let that person do. You're going to give that person some things that you might not give to that person. And what's happened is your own heart is being a little bit corrupted. It's turning you into a dishonest sort. See, it says you could even be bribed with a piece of bread. That person comes along and says, I know that we don't do this and that, but come on, could you? How about me? And so we're learning as Christians, just let everybody do everything. It's the easiest way to handle it. If you let one person do it, let everybody do it. Somebody says, but there's rules. That's right, we're under grace. So keep those things in mind. People say, I disagree. I don't care. Pray about it. Disagree. You're not here to agree with me or disagree. Neener, neener. You're here, we're all here, to see what this says and to pray about it and to see where our hearts are in it. See, well, look. To have respect of persons is not good. Now, and I'll say that in American. Is not good. I don't know how better to say. Those are simple, three simple words. It's no good. So you and I need to begin to believe that. It's not good. It's going to hurt. It's not going to help. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. You're going to start doing things a little shady for the sake of somebody else. You're going to be in trouble. Here it is twice now, verse 22. He that hurries to be rich has an evil eye and considers not the poverty, that poverty shall come upon him. Remember I mentioned that $20,000 car and that $180,000 bus? It sounds like a joke, but it happened very regularly. I know people who marry for money. You know, a girl finds a guy, and he's got money and she says, I'm in love. You know, and then he loses his wallet. And you're going to find it does no good. Those who try to get rich quick usually end up in poverty. That's what the Bible says. Instead of trying to work hard, we live in America, and Americans want it given. I've noticed that much of the legislature that we've seen come to pass over the last 5 to 10 years is designed to help big business. I know that you saw this whole huge corporation just fold, and now the president's involved and Clinton is involved and they think this may be a big scandal. And you see these big corporations, instead of working hard, trying to build, instead of trying to get the public's business, they go to Congress, pay them millions of dollars in gift money, so they'll pass laws to help this business grow instead of this business having to work for it. Get rich quick. It's going to turn out no good. It's going to turn out to be a bad thing. He that hates or hurries to be rich has an evil eye and considers not that poverty shall come upon him. That company, by the way, gave millions of dollars. Now, it used to be that the President of the United States would spend millions in their campaign. Senators, this last campaign, spent in the hundreds of millions just to become senators. Where did that money come from for them to be able to become senators and representatives? Big business gave multiple millions of dollars. And then the senators are passing laws so these people don't have to work. It's a get-rich-quick scheme. And the whole government is involved in it. And so now you're going to see more scandal. See? No, they don't realize that they don't consider that poverty shall come upon them. That company that gave tens of millions is now bankrupt and in trouble. Verse 23 says, he that rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue. Rebuking a person usually is not an easy task. Usually. But in the end, if that person is wise, they will be grateful that they were rebuked. That's what it says here. He that rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue. And of course, we've learned about flattery. We've learned about real love as opposed to false love. We've learned about hidden love as opposed to love that's shown. You put all those together from Proverbs and these all begin to make sense to you. Now, whoever robs his father or his mother, I'm glad that he stuck that in there, and says it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer. To steal from your own parents is wrong. I hope that you know that. Now, to steal from anybody is absolutely forbidden by God. God says, do not steal. You will not steal. But he goes on a little more in depth here and says, whoever steals from his own parents or her own parents and then says it's not a sin, that person is a companion of a destroyer. Wow. Steal from your own parents is wrong, is always wrong. But to think that it's not wrong, and that you're just taking money that's yours really anyway, my parents were going to give it to me anyway, makes you like anyone who is trying to destroy. Literally, out to destroy. Now keep in mind, the devil has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. So I put you in some really ugly company. Don't steal at all. And certainly don't steal from your parents. Verse 25 says, he that is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. I like that. That's cool. You want to be fat? Yes. Pride stirs up trouble. Pride destroys. You will not prosper. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. It's going to stir up trouble. It's going to destroy. You won't prosper. Trust in the Lord causes you to prosper. To be made fat doesn't mean you're going to gain weight. What it means is you're going to prosper. Things are going to go well. It'll work good for you. That's what verse 25 says. Verse 26 says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. So remember, we don't want to be fools. We're working on the other side. We want to be wise, so we don't want to be fools. So the one that trusts in his own heart is a fool. So what do we say right away? All right, I don't want to trust in my own heart. You don't want to trust in your own heart. The one that does is a fool. But whoever walks wisely, he shall be delivered. To trust in your own heart or to trust in yourself makes you a fool. And over we have seen that the heart is desperately wicked. I know that we really think we know what we're doing. We really think we know what we're all about. We really, when someone tells you you're bad, you right away say, I'm not bad. You're the one that's bad. You know, because you want to say, what you're communicating is, but I know my own heart. You don't. Well, the truth is, God says it's not true. And to trust in your own heart. You know, when someone comes up and says, now you, this, you know, what we're being told and what we're slowly learning is we ought to just close our mouth and then go before the Lord and pray about it. What do we normally do? You're this. Well, so you're that. Well, yeah, but you were this first. Yeah, but you're older. You were this. You've been this longer. You know, we're getting somewhere. This could go all night, couldn't it? Well, yeah, well, you brought it up. Oh, no, yeah, but you said it. Yeah, well, I got three friends that don't like it. Oh, good. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoever walks wisely, that person shall be delivered. Do you want to be delivered? We say, yeah, I want to be delivered from all this stupidity. Well, then, don't trust in your own heart. Walk wisely. Listening to and doing as the Lord commands. That's what will deliver you. That's what will deliver me. That's what will make us safe. You say, I want to be delivered from all of this. I want to grow. I want to be strengthened. Well, then listen to the Lord and don't trust in your own heart. Because we'll be fools if we do that. Verse 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, which is what we're afraid of, by the way. But he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. The truth is, because sometimes we don't feel like we've got very much, we're sort of stingy with it. We don't want to help when sometimes maybe we could help. And what he says here is, he that gives to the poor shall not lack. If you're willing to give to the poor, if you're willing to help others, God will take care of you. You won't need to worry. Now, I know that we're supposed to have all these insurances and we're supposed to have all these paperworks and we're supposed to have all these things so that because that's wise. But the wisest thing it sounds like we could do is to help others. Notice that? Because you help others, I help others, we help others. God says we won't lack. And isn't that what we're kind of looking for and hoping about? Your generosity toward the poor will be rewarded by the Lord himself, is what he says. But to ignore the poor, well, it's going to bring you troubles. He that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. All you need to do is ignore the poor if you want troubles in your life. Notice a lot of verses, we're almost done here, a lot of verses have talked about how you can bring trouble on yourself. Notice that tonight? Read through it when you get some time. Not very many verses total. What are there, 28? Read through them. Kind of interesting that a lot of them say trouble. It brings trouble. Brings trouble. Brings trouble. And that's something to think about when you're thinking, man, I have had enough trouble. I am sick of trouble. All I want is an easy time. I just want to get out of it. Well, look at all the verses that talk about how trouble kind of comes to you. And pray about that. Verse 28 says, and this is the last verse, when the wicked rise, and we've seen this before, men hide themselves. Remember that? But when they die, the righteous increase. We've seen it earlier in this chapter. When the wicked rise to a position of authority, people hide from them, hide away. But when those wicked or those unrighteous, when those wicked die, then the righteous can live freely again. They don't need to hide themselves anymore. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves. But when they die, the righteous increase. They can come out. They can continue on with what's good. Notice when Hitler was finished, the country could get back to a more stable, normal, solid life. Remember when Caesar, Nero, died. Things let up just a little bit. That guy was a kind of a rare bird, but things let up. It just happens. God's word never fails. There are ways that I can be wise in chapter 28. There are ways that I can be a fool and bring trouble on myself. And like I said earlier, because I've heard it a lot over the last week or so, well, I just don't believe that. And again, I say, go stand in the freeway with heavy traffic coming and tell me you don't believe in semi-trucks. See what happens. You see, this is God's word. Corrie ten Boom, she made the statement a long time ago. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Remember that statement? Well, the truth is, as soon as God said it, that settled it. Whether I choose to believe it or not, as soon as it was God's word, that settled it. And if God said fools do that, then I can be a fool if I want to and go do that. And God said wise do this. And by his strength, I can be wise and go do that. But when God says it, it is settled. And God, he respects his word. And God wants us to respect his word. He expects those of us that are his children to listen to him. So it gives us a lot to pray about. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, washed away the sins of the world. If you want forgiveness, you ask Jesus Christ in your heart. You come to Jesus humbly, repenting and come to Jesus, recognizing you and I are sinners. We come to the Lord, and the blood of Jesus Christ washes us clean. Well, it's at that moment when you are truly born again, it's at that moment when you and I need to begin to determine to walk in him. And if you've been born again for a long time, and you've never really given it any thought, the good thing about this life is his mercies are new every morning. His compassions don't fail. Even right now, you can start all over again. Just remembering the blood that washed you clean, you can start to walk in a direction that's wise, in a direction that is upright, in a direction that brings God glory by his strength. Let's bow our heads.